Tonight I'm going to talk about foundation repair. Doesn't that sound exciting? I'm actually quite an expert on it these days because of our stupid house situation. Some of you know, we were trying to downsize and bought a house almost a year ago, next week, and hadn't been able to sell our other house. So we've had two homes for almost a year. And one of the things, when we bought the house, we had the, you know, foundation inspected at that time, and they, you know, the person said, you know, everything looks fine, just keep an eye on two walls, you know, that something about a crack or something, you know. So we're like, yeah, sure, we'll do that. And then we had someone that was almost interested in buying the house and decided to have another inspection. That the first one was in November, the next one was sort of in the spring. And because of the horrible winter we had with thawing and freezing, and sure enough, the walls we were supposed to keep an eye on moved a little bit. And cracked, and you know, and if you don't take care of it right away, they can start to buckle, and then pretty much, you know, pretty soon it's a disaster. And so we had to, it wasn't a horrible thing, but we had to put some braces up, these like heavy steel braces that they get, you know, put into the floor, and it will guarantee to hold, shore up that wall and take care of it. And as I was over there the other day painting these braces and thinking about the lesson this week, I thought, you know, it's not just coincidental that we're talking about foundations tonight in one of our readings. God does this to me a lot, where things in my life pertain to the lesson. And so as I'm painting these things, I got thinking of the analogy between the foundation of this house and the foundation that Christ is talking to us about this week. And about how, you know, I think we all have a strong foundation. There's a question you're going to talk about that. And I thought to myself, you know, between the church and my upbringing and my family and the community I grew up in, I feel like I have a strong foundation. It's just maintaining it, you know, and being aware of where the cracks, the little, you know, hairline step cracks, or the when there's slight buckling, or maybe you're moving a little out off a plumb, you know, even if it's a quarter of an inch. See how I know all this stuff? Isn't that great? You got to nip it in the bud, and you got to repair it before it becomes a complete and devastation. Because our foundations are always under stress from some outside source. And that's when these cracks can start to form and possibly buckle. And you know, you have these experts come in and they check your foundation. I thought, wouldn't it be nice, you know, if you could sit down with somebody every so often and go over your foundation and ask them to point out, you know, where the you know, even minor changes. Like in this house, the people we bought the house from had lived there for 20-some years and never a problem. But then when you have some horrendous thing like last winter, within months, things can change. And isn't that kind of how it happens with us too? You know, you can go a long time with this firm, strong foundation, and then something comes along to challenge it, and you need to reinspect that foundation often, because you know, you really need to stay on top of it. And then if you do notice the cracks, you got to repair it right away before it becomes something really bad. And that's these beams. And I thought, you know, in the readings this week, I think Jesus is in a way telling us how to keep that foundation solid. And I saw in the readings six support beams that I saw in what we talked about today. Six things that Jesus tells us to do that will help shore up that foundation and keep it secure. And so I thought we'd talk about those. The first one I saw, I got to thinking, in the first reading he says, and it's so simple, three simple words, but very profound. He says, come to me. Just come to me. And I thought, you know, it reminded me of like little ones, and they say, come, you know, come to mama, come to, and oh, they get so excited, you know, they drop everything and, you know, come running. And that's what he wants us to do, leave everything behind and just come to me. Put yourself at his feet with your head in his lap. And I went on a silent retreat to the Jesuit retreat house in Oshkosh. Some of you maybe have been there, and I'll talk about that a little bit later too. We have an opportunity to do that again if you have, or for the first time. But there's a chapel there called the Sacred Heart Chapel, and inside of it there's this statue. And have you guys been there? You're smiling. There's a life-size statue of Jesus with this little child. And when I went on the retreat, I had never been there before, and I just wandered into this chapel, and I was pretty much there the whole time when I didn't have to be anywhere else. And no one ever came in there except me, the times when I was in there. And I literally stood next to this and put my head, it was kind of a cold, hard shoulder, but I imagined it different, and put my hand on Jesus' hand, and let myself be that little child and come to him. And, you know, that's that thing about how we're supposed to be more childlike. And I needed that so badly. I needed, at that time in my life, to just feel his embrace and be able to just come to him and sit and be there with him and feel his love. And so that's what he asks us. He says, come to me. And that's one of those beams. That's one of those things. Do that, and that will help you keep your foundation, your relationship with him, solid. And then he says, come to me, listen to my words. He didn't, you know, it's not like, come to me, let's play tag. Come to me, tag me, and leave. You know, come to me and stay there and listen to me. And, you know, I got thinking, we need to train ourselves to hear, to listen. You know, we can't always be on retreats or be someplace where everything is quiet. And so we need to learn how to do that in the midst of our everyday. And, you know, you can come to him in the midst of your day, too. Sometimes, you know, if you just think in the midst of, if you're at work or in the car or whatever, and even if it's something as small as, you know, tilting your head and just imagining it on his shoulder or something, you know, just come to him in those busy times in some small way and listen to him. To stay there long enough to be able to listen. And, you know, there's a huge difference between hearing and listening. Hearing, you know, you can hear, but you're not necessarily listening. And he wants you to listen. When you listen, it sinks in. It becomes a part of you, a part of your thinking. It's not in one ear and out the other ear. That's one of my big pet peeves. If ever you're in a social setting and you're talking to somebody and you can just see they're looking right over your shoulder at whoever else is coming in the door, or, you know, you get the vibe that they want to go talk to somebody else and you're just kind of a bother right now, so could you leave me alone, you know, be quiet and let me move on. I hate that. And it's one of my pet peeves is that when I want someone to listen to me, and I will listen to someone else. I don't just hear them. I want to listen to them. And this struck me very clearly this week. My daughter Haley had a doctor's appointment. She swore it was at 1:30. I swore it was at 1 o'clock. So at like noon, I called the doctor's office to check, and they said, oh, it's at 1 o'clock. I got off the phone. I said, you're right, it's at 1:30. And we showed up at 1:30, and I wasn't listening. I heard her, but I wasn't listening because I had a million other things on my mind. And, you know, and I know I've done, it's happening more and more too. I don't know what that is, but so you can actually hear something, but it doesn't mean you are listening. And so Christ says to us, listen to my words. Don't just hear them. And then he says another thing to shore up that foundation, come to me, listen to my words, and then act on my words. It's not enough to just, even to listen, even if you're listening, not just hearing, you need to act on the words and obey, because obedience brings blessing. And the blessing that comes from actually acting on those words is that you kind of try them out and you find out that they're true, that what Jesus says is true, what he promises is true. But you're not going to know that unless you act on the words. You know, when he says, and that builds your ability to trust and surrender more. So when he says things like, seek first the kingdom and all the rest will be added, act on that. Do something to seek the kingdom, and then you'll see that all the rest will be given. Or come to me when you're burdened and I will give you rest. Do it. Go to him, and then you see, oh my gosh, there is rest there for me. And, you know, it's like, when you want to work out physically, you know, your muscles, you can't just read about the exercise machine. You got to use it. You got to do it. You know, I mean, it doesn't do you a darn bit of good to read the manual and hear other people talk about how great it is. You've got to do it in order to get those spiritual muscles in shape. Another thing I saw is one of these support beams to keep this foundation intact, and this has to do with Karen's beautiful song, Don't Conceal Your Light. Christ is the light, and you're going to talk about that in your groups. And as we grow in our relationship, he reveals more and more to us. And if we believe it and respond and assimilate it and share it, he gives us more. But if we ignore it or reject it or brush it off, he's not going to reveal more. And maybe even what he did reveal will become less significant to you. And so, that can start the crack in the foundation. So you need to love that light and incorporate that light into your life and let it shine. Another thing he says in the lesson is guard against greed. Because I think the feeling of when you let yourself go to that place where you feel like life is so unfair and it's God's fault. Why did he make me this way? Or why didn't he give me the things that other people have? Or whatever. That's a powerful force against that foundation. Because it can so easily make it begin to crumble when you look at God as being treating you unfairly, or life being unfair, and it's God's fault. So we need to dwell on gratitude and contentment rather than, on what we don't have. It's another good discussion you'll have about how do you avoid greed? How do you avoid that feeling? For me, it's something as simple as I don't even look at ads anymore or magazines that show beautiful homes and perfectly decorated rooms. And, I love to see those things. I'm a visual kind of person, but I end up leaving that going, I like that, and it's just a kind of an icky feeling. And I think especially almost the blessing in what's happening with our economy now is that we're being forced to look at what we have and be more content. And I think that's a huge blessing in all of it. And then lastly, to shore up that foundation, Jesus gives us the example of how we should give in the poor widow story, that we should give sacrificially, give ourselves our livelihood, give till it hurts, which I know, when I think about that, I know I don't do that often. And it doesn't mean always money, it means ourselves. And so we need to really give our first fruits, give our best, not just what's left. And at Mass a couple weeks ago where I was, they talked about stewardship, and they said, do you give to a need or do you need to give? And it's a big difference between the two. And I think that's what, that's what Jesus is pointing out in this whole story with the widow and how we need to really take a look at our giving. So this week, I encourage you to check for the cracks and the buckles in your foundation, because you're the expert. Nobody else knows your foundation like you do. You've seen it in the dark. You've seen it in the light. You know exactly, how long those cracks have been there, and if they're a threat or if they're just, that's not too bad. You're the expert. So do the repairs now. Install these support beams we talked about. Make them a permanent fixture in your life. And it might cost you a little something now, but in the long run, it'll bring you great peace of mind. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, our life in you is the foundation that all else rests on. Help us notice the cracks and take action to repair anything that compromises our life with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.